Hello, and welcome to the Inside the Orange podcast. First of all, I'd like to say a massive thank you to Mrs. Jackie O for appearing on the podcast last week. It's an absolutely great episode, and if you want to go back and check it out, then please do. The links will be in the description below. On the podcast this week, I'm blessed to be joined by Meredith Bell. Now, Meredith is an absolutely fantastic communicator, which makes her the best podcast guest. And it was really interesting to me, not only as a podcaster, but having worked in business in a leadership role and being a husband and father, just how important it is to communicate properly in this world. And to have the chance to sit down with Meredith and have that conversation was absolutely brilliant. And delighted to say that is this week's episode. So before we get into it, here's how you can get in touch with the podcast. To get in touch with the podcast, you can find us at insidetheorange.co.uk. You can email us at insidethisorange@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Orange Watts, Orange W-H-A-T-S. On Instagram, Inside the Orange. On the Inside the Orange podcast Facebook page, or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Richard Stevens, motivational speaker and creator of the Inside the Orange. All these links will be available in the description and show notes. So my guest today, I'm really excited about her joining me. She talks about communication and how to communicate better, something that I know my wife will be listening and thinking, Rich, this is something you really need to listen to. So I'm delighted to welcome Meredith Bell to the Inside the Orange podcast. Meredith, how's your day been so far? Very early in the US.
Well, it's early in the US, but I'm an early riser, so I've gotten a lot done already. It's been great. Thank you.
Awesome stuff. So you deal with communication, but there's more to you than that. So tell us a little bit about Meredith Bell, what people need to know about yourself.
I guess one of the big things that's been driving me, gosh, for more than 30 years now, is the people side of business. How people interact with each other. And over the years, I've learned more and more about what does it take to really have someone feel valued. And so part of the reason Denny, my business partner, and I wrote this book was to help people understand some of the basics, that basic things we can do. It's not complicated, but unfortunately, we don't learn this in school. We often don't learn it in our homes when we're growing up. And so I've just been driven by building strong relationships myself and helping others build strong relationships. Because when you look at life and the end of life, that's what really counts. What was the quality of the relationships we had? And so that's what I really am passionate about, helping people learn how to do every day.
Now, and again, we're going to get to your book because you very kindly sent me a version of the book, and it was eye-opening for myself. And there's so much in that that I can sit there and go, I'm guilty of quite a lot of things in this book that I need to put right. So, you know, thank you for writing the book. We'll get there. That's the most important bit, because it was meant for someone like me to read 100%. So if it's not wrong to say, so you deal with communicating better, right? But does it include miscommunication? Are you more into fixing miscommunication than communicating better? Or why is communication so important? You know, is it a miscommunication? where does it start?
Well, the problems are usually around miscommunication. We don't say what we're thinking. We don't say what we really mean. We take things wrong when someone else says something to us. We get busy, you know, thinking our own thoughts and wanting to have our turn to speak. And so we barely are really capturing what someone else is saying. And so, you know, we miss each other at times. And to me, you know, to get things done at work, or even to live a happy life at home, it's really important for both people to be respectful of each other and really make an effort to get the other person. Because that's, you know, to me, in terms of communication, when someone feels, let me turn it around, when I feel someone really understands me, man, I am all in, you know, with really connecting with them. It makes a huge difference when someone takes time. And so what happens with miscommunication is we're often in a hurry. You know, we have our own agenda. We've got our list of to-dos. All these things can get in the way of us being fully present with someone else. And that's what really is required to connect with someone effectively.
Okay. So let's talk about the book, because I know I read the book and I emailed you some bits that I, when I got to them, I was like, I need to talk about this. So the book is called How to Connect with Your Team or Connect with Your Team.
Connect with Your Team. Mm-hmm.
And you wrote it with, as you say, with Denny Coates, your business partner. So one of it lists 10 communication skills, the top 10 communication skills. So what do you put as the two or three of the most important on that list?
Well, our longest chapter and the first skill that we talk about is listening, because it's the foundation of almost every other skill. If we don't know how to listen well to someone else, then we're going to miss a lot of information, and not listening causes problems, causes mistakes, causes hard feelings. You know, the list goes on and on. And the problem, of course, Rich, is most of us think we're pretty good listeners. You know, we just think, well, yeah, I know how to listen. But listening is more than just hearing the words someone else is saying. It's also really paying attention to their body language, to their tone of voice, you know, to the context of what they're saying, so that we really get the message. Another thing that gets in the way of us hearing well is our ego, because we tend to take things personally instead of being more open to, you know, hearing what someone is saying. We perceive it as criticism. And so we get into justifying and defending sometimes if someone is saying something to us that we don't like. So listening is really the basis for resolving conflicts, for learning from feedback. You know, there's just so many ways that it's important. Another one of my favorites is the expressing appreciation, giving positive feedback, because I don't think we do this enough. Most people don't receive enough positive feedback. And if we really understood the power of affirming someone else, we would do it more often. The power in terms of elevating their own feelings about themselves and seeing themselves in a more positive light, as well as elevating our relationship with them, because they feel we really appreciate who they are as a human being, as well as a specific thing they've done. So when we express appreciation, it's not, especially in the workplace, it's not as helpful to say, oh, you're the best, you know. A more specific example might be, let's say that you were in a meeting and you were the one leading the meeting and you noticed another person really paying attention to who was not participating and helping to draw them out. So after the meeting, you know, I could say, hey, Rich, I really appreciate how you really paid attention to the fact that Jane was not speaking up and you encouraged her to do so. I was caught up in the content of what we were discussing and I overlooked bringing her in. So thank you for doing that. You see, when it's very specific, the person understands what it is that you really valued about what they did. And it reinforces to them, you really like that kind of behavior. So it teaches a person what it is that you value. And that makes a huge difference in getting that same level of performance in the future.
What I did enjoy with the book was how you did lay it out. So you laid it out in kind of, this is what the practice is. But then you also laid it out as scenarios. Like you've just said, you put this scenario in. So actually people can then put in their mind's eye, actually, I've had a similar conversation like this before. I've been in this scenario before, and this is where I went with it. Actually, that's very handy. And what also I liked about the book was it's your and Denny's work, but you've kind of encouraged people to go and look at other people's work as well, of who does it well, and to kind of, if this is an area you need. So obviously I want to talk about listening first, because when I spoke to you after I read the chapter, I said, I'm one of those people that when I want to help someone, I hear someone's problem and I'm waiting to go, how can I can help you. Why is that wrong? What am I missing from that by doing that?
I love your question and your honesty about it, Rich. The problem with always coming up with a ready answer, and when we're in a leadership role, whether it's a manager or a parent, we often feel like people expect us to be the answer givers, right? And the problem with that is a couple of things. One, we're teaching people to be dependent on us and to come to us. And so therefore, it's harder for us to get our own work done, because we have people who are hesitant to decide for themselves, for example. The other thing is, if we're not asking questions to help them figure things out, then we are not teaching them to really be independent thinkers and self-reliant. And that really, I think, is one of the roles that we have, even as a coworker with a peer, to encourage someone. For example, if someone is coming to you and they're not sure how they should handle a particular project, let's say. And so just to ask, well, what have you considered so far? You know, what options have you laid out in terms of things you could do? So if they say, well, nothing, oh, well, gosh, you're very creative. So, you know, why don't you give that some thought? And then either come back to me or we can discuss it now. But the idea is, don't jump in. So it's becoming more aware of those opportunities where we're tempted to give advice or give an answer and catch ourselves and just say, this is a listening moment. This is a listening moment. And a good kind of overall question to just keep in your mind is, what do you think? When someone comes to you, you know, well, what do you think? And that way you can come up with different versions of it, but you're basically turning the tables to get them to share with you. And then they may come up with something that is way off. And based on your experience, you know that could lead to other problems. And so again, instead of telling, you could say, well, have you considered what might happen over here if you decide to do this? And then you can share experiences, but then ask again, based on what I've shared with you, what do you think makes sense as the next step? I think that's a key thing.
No. And again, as I say, it was something that I came to you and went, yeah, I'm 100% guilty with this. You know, I do it all the time. If we put the boot on the other foot, though, when we're giving that, what happens when people get irritated? Because, and I'm not kind of saying it would necessarily happen, but I think there's a lot of people that do want the answer given. And when they feel that their kind of leader is or their manager's just going, well, what do you think? They're like, well, I need help. How do you stop that irritation getting kind of toxic? Do you know what I mean with that? How do you stop someone?
Yeah, I think one thing is to simply be upfront and honest. If you have been in the pattern of giving answers in the past and people are coming to you and expecting that, then I think telling them, you know, this is an area I'm working on. You have so much capability yourself that before you come to me with a question, I would like you to think through what you feel would be the best answer, because I'm not going to be providing you an answer. So you kind of, you know, prepare them in advance. So in the moment, they're not frustrated because you've already laid out the approach you're going to be taking. And so it teaches the person, oh yeah, before I go to Meredith, I better come up with at least one idea myself for how to do this. So I think that's a key thing. And if you're, you know, if you're in the initial stages of this and you're sensing that someone is irritated, just acknowledge it and say, you know, you seem kind of aggravated that I'm not providing you with an answer. Is that accurate? If they say, yeah, I'm in a hurry, I need this, I need that. Well, what do you think would be the best thing to do here? I want you to learn how to solve these kinds of problems. Because, Rich, what often happens is we teach people how to interact with us. And if we have not made it safe for people to make mistakes around us, they've learned that we react badly. If they make a bad choice, then they're going to be more likely to want to get the right answer from you in advance. So I think it requires some self-examination to consider, how have I fostered this behavior? And what do I need to do differently in setting people up to become more independent thinkers?
And I think it's kind of put a lot in the book that these are habits. These are something, if you don't do, you're not going to go out tomorrow and be able to practice all 10, but actually it's developing yourself. So do you think once you're kind of your co-workers, once they start to see that kind of level of improvement in yourself, do you think you get a little bit more time with them that they can see that? And do you think you get a little bit more of an understanding from them that you're going on a journey if you're kind of open with it?
Yes, I think a key is letting people know, you know, I want to become a better listener and I need your help. Because the reality, Rich, is that anytime we want to change a behavior, typically we already have one that's been established over a long time, and that is hardwired in our brains. And so if you think of it as that's sort of like a superhighway we've already created, you know, the pathway is firmly entrenched. And what we want to do now is create a new one. And it's sort of like you're starting down this dirt road, this gravel road. It's bumpy, it's uncomfortable, and it's very tempting to go back to the way that's more familiar. So one of the ways to improve over time is to be open with people and then ask for their feedback along the way. And simply say, I really want to be a better listener. I know I have interrupted you, for example, in the past. I want to stop doing that. So when you see me doing that, either give me a signal like putting up your hand or simply saying, I wasn't finished yet. And that'll be my cue to, you know, be quiet. And I think that makes a big difference. When other people know that you're making a genuine effort to improve, they're going to rally around and support you, unless you've been a total jerk, you know, in the past. But even someone that whose behavior has been frustrating for others, if they sense you're genuinely working to improve, they're going to want to help you, because guess what? It makes their lives better if they help you improve. And so I think that's really a key. And, you know, this reminds me of another important point. Sometimes we are hesitant to acknowledge our imperfections, you know, and say, you know, I'm weak in this area, or I really need to improve in this area. When in fact, because we're afraid of looking bad, we're afraid of losing face with others. We gain respect when we are willing to be honest. And it does two things. It helps people relax, because now they know you're aware of this blind spot that you've had in the past. And then the other thing it does is it helps them feel safe about acknowledging where they need help. And so you get this overall environment that's much healthier emotionally for people to work in or live in.
And the current kind of world we live in now, it's okay to share vulnerabilities, isn't it? It's not to the point where you are, you know, you don't need to overshare, but people are happy and, like you say, more willing to come forward if they see you're vulnerable. Is that fair to say?
I think that's absolutely right. Yes. And you're right. You don't want to overshare. but when, you know, and in fact, here's a great question for people to take away. to find out, where am I being an irritant to others? Simply to go up to the people who matter to you, whether it's family members, friends, coworkers, even boss, direct reports, and simply say, what is one thing that I could do differently that would make your experience of working with me or living with me better? And so you see, you're not asking them to judge you. You're not asking them to criticize. You're asking, how could I change one thing that would make your experience with me better? Mm. And that really opens the door for someone. And if they don't feel like they are ready, then usually they can come up with something pretty quick. You know, I wish you would stop. I wish you would do more of this. But all of that, if you receive it as information and data and not criticism, not judgments, is huge, because different people may have different things that they would like more or less of from you. And we make assumptions all the time about what people want from us. And this one question can help us find out, what do they really want?
And it's interesting, it goes back to what you were saying when I asked about the couple of points you take from the book, or the most important points you take from your book. And you said it's about that feedback, giving people that kind of gracious kind of thing, you know, honesty. But it also comes back the other way, where we need to sometimes ask for that difficult feedback or give that difficult feedback. Why do we struggle to do both? Why do we struggle to receive feedback sometimes, and why do we struggle to give it sometimes?
I think they're two different angles. In terms of giving feedback, let's say constructive feedback, someone has done something that we want to make sure they don't do that again, right? Then what can hold us back from giving constructive feedback is fear of the other person's reaction. So we might be afraid of they won't like us anymore, they won't want to work with us, they won't, you know, these stories we make in our heads that creates all this fear and anxiety around just telling someone the truth. If we can learn to do it in a way that we describe there, which is simply being very factual, you know, and describing, you know, what happened, what the impact was on you or another person, and then what behavior you'd like to see different, and then get the agreement of that person to commit to that behavior. That takes courage, all right, to come forth. And so that kind of is the psychology behind why we hesitate to do it. We've never been taught how to do it well, and we get all wrapped up in the potential reaction this person might have. On the receiving side, it's different, because if somebody is coming to us with constructive feedback, it's very tempting to respond with our justification for it, defending our behavior, trying to prove we're right, prove them wrong. And that doesn't do anything to build a relationship or help us learn. And so on the receiving feedback side, what's really required is an openness, recognizing I'm not perfect, and getting the ego out of the way, so that we don't feel, oh, this is a criticism of me as a human being. It's not. It's a behavior that I'm doing that's causing problems for someone else. And so if we can adopt an attitude of gratitude about it, and that's why we have that chapter called Receive Feedback Graciously, look at it as a gift. It's and recognize that other person had to be courageous to come to us with that information. They may have rehearsed this. You know, we need to put ourselves in their shoes and say, you know, this wasn't easy for them. And so I need to make sure that I am gracious, because if we react badly, it teaches them to never come to us again. And we're going to end up with other blind spots that no one's willing to tell us the truth about.
And is that because people, again, you say it comes from fear, but do people see that as weakness? And weakness in any business has to be destroyed. Even communication is, I can't show weakness. Is that what it's all built in from?
I think that's a lot of it, Rich. I think you hit the nail on the head there. We're afraid if somebody sees a flaw in us, it's like we've been exposed. Oh no, they've seen something. And that is going to cause us to lose status in not just their eyes, but maybe in the organization. And it goes back to how we view ourselves. If we have a healthy self-concept and we recognize I'm a human being, I am going to make mistakes. I need other people to show me what those are. If we have that attitude instead of I got to always look like I've got my stuff together, right? I always have everything in place. It makes us unrelatable. When people see that you're willing to own a mistake, it's interesting. It's kind of counterintuitive. Their opinion of you, their respect for you goes up when you're willing to acknowledge you've made a mistake. When you deny it, especially when they know what they just told you is true, and you try to deny it or minimize it, that pushes people away. They're less likely to be honest with you about other things because of how you reacted to that.
And moving on from that a little bit, so you said about showing kind of like your real self. So living at home, so this you talk about connecting with your team, but let's talk, communication is massive. And I said at the beginning, my wife is going to be eager ears listening to this, going, you know, let's hear you talk about me talk about communication. How much can that translate to home? What I mean by that is you take the work with you can't try to treat your wife, your family like your team, or can you with just a bit of adaptability? How universal is this to communicate in?
100% transferable. 100%. Because every one of those skills applies to any human being when you think about it. You know, if your spouse comes to you, if one of your kids comes to you with a question or a problem, it's important for them to know you're interested in hearing what they have to say, that you set down your phone, you stop watching TV, you remove all distractions and you focus exclusively on them. Incredible, the bonding that can happen. And, you know, this is what I said at the beginning, what life is really all about is what's the quality of our relationships. And so we create quality relationships by the way we show up with others. And that's anywhere. You know, who am I being in this moment with this person? And am I being the best listener? Am I being the best feedback receiver? You know, if your spouse comes to you with something they're concerned about, and I think it's especially challenging with our spouses because that's the person typically we're the most intimate with and they know us so well. And so if they point out something, it's like, oh, you know, I just wish they would quit, you know, jumping on me about this. But the truth is, if we can with our spouses or partners accept graciously what they tell us, it's amazing what that does to eliminate tension and create more harmony, because they don't feel like they're in a battle with us. They feel like we're in this together. You know, and so it again, our egos can kick in really fast when we're in these close relationships and someone brings up something or points something out. And my husband and I have been married now 39 years, and I have learned over time, you know, to simply say, thanks for letting me know. I didn't know that was bothering you. And so I'll pay more attention. I'll be more aware of that. And it isn't just to please him. It's to recognize this particular behavior is causing issues for him, you know, and it's interfering with our relationship. And this is where getting into, you know, conflict resolution can be important. If I want to do a certain thing and he wants to do something else, it can be a conflict. But if we take the time to find out, okay, what's the real need that's behind what I want and what he wants, then that makes a huge difference. I'll give you a great example in a family situation. When our daughter was in high school, she was involved in the French club and they were going to take a trip to France after her junior year. And of course she wanted to go and she wanted us to pay for it. And we said, well, that's not going to happen. So we sat down and discussed it and said, okay, what would be fair? And what we agreed on was she would come up with half the money, find ways to earn money, and we would pay the other half. And it was a real win-win for us because one of her creative ideas was cooking meals for us in the evening, and we would pay her so we didn't have to be concerned after work because we both worked, coming home and figuring out what are we doing for dinner. She started, and she, to this day, 20 years later, is an excellent cook. She got very creative. And so there are always ways of thinking about how can we make this work for all of us, both of us, so that everybody feels good about the outcome.
And I think, you know, you've mentioned their conflict resolution, and I think people don't pay that enough attention, because if you listen to the words conflict resolution, resolving conflict, you know, resolving it, where people go into conflict ready armed and ready to do battle, you know, people see it as conflict battle. Why do people still struggle with that? Why is resolving it still such a difficult thing to people? Why is it going, you know, is it that thing again? Is it ego again?
It is very much tied to the ego and the need to be right. You know, it's not just I want my way. It's my way is the right way. And so therefore anything else is not. So there are two words that start with C that I would recommend people bring to a situation where they and another person have a difference. First of all, we need to recognize conflict is normal. You know, no two human beings that are, you know, each independent thinkers, we're not going to agree on everything we want to do. So what could we do? How important is it to me to have my way? So the two C words are curiosity, so that you really come in with an open mind, eager to hear the other person's perspective and learn why they want what it is they say they want. And then the other thing is creativity. Because it may be that there's another solution that's acceptable to both of us, that's not the one either one of us initially said we wanted, but there could be another way that could work for everybody. And I think that recognizing that I don't lose if I agree to something other than what I initially said I wanted, that's huge. And that's getting the ego out of the way and say, hey, you know, she does have a good point, or he is, you know, that. So having that open mind, being curious, learning, and then being creative to consider other alternatives than the one that I thought I wanted.
Yeah. And again, I think it leads us quite nicely into the next part. So it's brain work, curiosity, you know, creativity. We're talking about now in a world where, and you mentioned it a minute ago when you were talking about conversing with your family, about putting your phone down, putting your laptop down. Technology, modern technology, the smartphone. Is it making us better communicating, or is it making us a lot more lazy? Is it working? Is it not working? Or what's your views on our current technology and how we communicate?
Well, on the positive side, you know, being able to use the technology to have an instant message, you know, with someone else can be very time efficient. The issue comes in when we think that can replace human interaction, because human beings really thrive on, you know, face-to-face, or at least voice-to-voice interactions or in person. So many of us, you know, have missed that in person contact over the last 18 months, but at least being able to connect other than through text. Because when we send an email or a text, there is a lot of room for interpretation and misunderstanding. And it ends up being less time efficient, because sometimes we have to go in and, you know, make amends or clarify or spend more time than if we had simply had a quick 2-minute conversation and connected voice to voice, that it would have made a big difference. So I think technology can really get in the way. People can hide behind it instead of face to face with someone else to talk directly about things.
And again, it is changing your approach. I know recently, things like WhatsApp I've had on my phone, and people will message me and ask me questions. And my first response most of the time is, can I call you? Because I still think having that conversation is a lot easier than me trying to get my point over on a WhatsApp call, you know, on a WhatsApp message. So I agree with that. And again, you know, let's look at this current world. We're talking now via Zoom, which has grown out of the pandemic. So you're right, there is things with technology, but it still comes back to the fact of, let's not shortcut it. Let's embrace of how it can make it better. Is that fair?
Yes, I love that you quickly recognize that a phone call would be a better way to handle something. I have done that myself many times, because I'll sit there thinking, well, I could respond to this email, but golly, let's just talk, because it saves time in that if we have questions, we don't have to go back and forth with an email. We can just, you know, cut to the chase pretty quick with asking each other questions on the phone or on Zoom and getting it resolved and then being able to move forward.
And what this kind of all circles around a term that I really want us to kind of clarify, the term soft skills. So apparently these are all soft skills, what they're known in business, communication, the fluffy stuff, if you like. Why are they called soft skills? Because for me, I think they're the things that people struggle with most. What's your thoughts on that? Because I don't like it.
I agree. I think I really don't know where that term came from, other than contrasting it with what you might call hard or technical skills that relate to, you know, handling machinery or technology or other things. But it really is a misnomer. I would call them hard skills or even power skills. I heard that term and I thought that's a great term, because when you know how to communicate well with someone else, it's very powerful. Again, in terms of how you relate to the other person, people tend to say, oh, you know, minimize this. We don't, you know, those aren't important. But I will tell you, if you don't know how to interact with others effectively, you are not going to bring out the best in them, and the overall productivity and performance is going to suffer. And again, that goes out, that applies to how you raise your children and you communicate with them. If you take a command and control approach, whether it's at work or at home, you might get compliance, but you are not going to get their spirit involved. They're not going to be as motivated. In fact, they may rebel against you at their first opportunity. So having the ability to carry on open, direct conversations is critical. It's you know, think of it as practical to getting the work done, because there are fewer misunderstandings, miscommunications, to go back to one of your earlier terms, and there's greater clarity, there's greater buy-in on what needs to be done, what the actual expectations are, what we agree to. And so it just makes everything go so much smoother.
And for me, as I say, your work with Dennis, the book, and every part of that, it's important. And since I've been reading more, if I'm honest, since I've been reading more, books are all about interpretation, but you have got to be willing to kind of see where this could make it better. There's so many self-help books out there. And what I'm getting at here is, you said about technology, and machinery. Now, any machinery and things you get trained on comes with a manual. People don't come with a manual, do they? You know, you don't get to see how this is. So kind of, what I'm getting at with that is how responsible do we have to be? Do we have to admit we've got a problem with communication, or can it just be that you just want to get better at something?
Well, it could be both, but personal responsibility is always the basis for any learning. You know, I am ultimately responsible for how I communicate with someone else. And so that to me is like a fundamental baseline that has to be there. If I'm always looking outside myself to blame others for why my life is miserable, I'm not going to be willing to make the effort to improve, because I don't see it being within me that I need to do something. If this person would just change, if that person would just change. And if we can flip that and point it back to us and say, how do I need to be different in order to have a really effective relationship with this person? And part of that is looking at, again, what do I appreciate about this other person? Because what happens many times, Rich, when we have and I would love everyone that's listening to think of one person in your life that tends to just be an irritant. Hopefully it's not, you know, a family member, but it could be, or someone at work. If you could flip the switch and start thinking about what is it you value about this person? What is it that is a strength in them that you appreciate? It helps actually change your attitude about that individual. And so when you encounter them, you do it with a more positive mindset. I just think that's so important because it's easy to get irritated with someone and then build on that and build on that. So every little thing they do just grates at you. And what I have found, honestly, is when I become that critical of someone else, I've got to stop, because what's happening is there's something about myself that's really bugging me. But instead of looking at it, I'm looking at you know, other people or one other person and saying, if they would just stop doing that, I'd be fine. Mm-mm, it's me. I'm doing something. I'm being a certain way that is not caring, that's not loving, that is judging. And so this need to judge and criticize ourselves and others, if we could just let go of some of that and just say, we're all humans on this adventure together and we're going to make mistakes, it helps us and the others around us relax. Can you see how that would be?
100%. I think it's kind of like to kind of paraphrase from where you're going, the red car. If you only see red cars or think about red cars, you'll only see a red car. If you only see the negative in someone, you're only going to build, this conversation's going to go bad. You're already telling yourself that you've lost. You've already told yourself. But actually, if you thought that this person actually, do you know, every day I walk in, they always say good morning to me and how are you? Even that small bit, if you start focusing on that, you'll engage with them better. But if you focus on the negative, all you're going to do is set yourself up to fail. So it is the mindset, isn't it? It's the mindset of how... And you're the only person that can change that. You are the only person that can change how you are going to walk into a situation, if that's fair.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, there's a question that I have started asking myself. I learned from a guy called the Ultimate Coach, Steve Hardison. You know, who do I need to be in this moment? Because our personalities, our way of being is fluid. You know, we don't need to label ourselves and say, well, I'm always this or I'm definitely that. I can be whoever I need to be in a given moment, to be more flexible, to be more open, to be more curious, to be more loving. I can bring that to any situation. So I have a choice. And I think when we get into trouble is when we lose sight of that choice that we have. And we think we get stuck in the patterns of how we've reacted in the past or responded to someone. We've allowed others to trigger us. And I think that would be a good thing for people to think about. Who triggers you? What is it they do? Because likely there's something about yourself that you are critical of that ties in with whatever it is that person does that triggers you. It may be, you know, your beliefs about how effective you are or are not in a given area. And so if somebody says something about it, you immediately get triggered and you get defensive. And just that self-awareness, I think, is so important to this whole discussion we have. That awareness of how am I coming across? How do I want to come across? How do I want to be with this person so that both of us feel good about the relationship?
And again, it's so, so well put. And again, I love the fact you sent me the book. And again, I took so much from it and I kind of made myself a promise that actually there are parts of the book, there are a lot of communication skills, but don't try and do them all at once. And what I love today, and can I just say 100%, when you've got someone who is such a very good listener and you're a podcast host, I really hope I've listened to you well, Meredith, and asked the right questions on top of that. Because I'm thinking... It's very difficult when someone communicates as well as you do. That's the thing I have to go, oh, hang on, am I communicating okay as a host? Oh, that's all about my ego there. That's that. Let's talk.
Yes, you are, Rich. Yes, you are. You've asked great questions. This is really, I'm so enjoying our conversation.
Bless you. And again, you know, there's my ego kind of tapped on the shoulder. But what's next for you? So obviously this book is awesome and it's going to be available Amazon, things like that. Where can people find you? What's next for you? And where can people find your work? Tell about
that. Oh, thank you. So connect with your team. The subtitle is Mastering the Top 10 Communication Skills that I co-authored with Denny Coates, my business partner for 30 years. So we've learned a lot about communicating with each other. And our third partner, Paula, the three of us have worked together that long. Denny and I also have a book called Peer Coaching Made Simple. That's a companion to the Connect with Your Team book, because when we're trying to make a change, it's hard to do it on our own. And so working with a peer coach, someone that cares about our success, that's going to hold us accountable, can really help us stay on that path. So those two books together, what's next for me is really working on getting those in the hands of a million people, because we believe so strongly that there is so much pain in the workplace and at home. And Denny has written companion books to those two for parents, Connect with Your Kid and Parents Coaching Parents. So among those four books, we want to get those in the hands of people in the workplace, in the homes of parents, so that we, in our own way, we're able to make a positive impact on the way companies and families interact with each other so they have healthier relationships.
And I think that's, as I say, we've talked about, I think the timing is right for that now. I think people are so much more prepared and want this help and support. And I think it's absolutely amazing. I appreciate the book you sent. I'm just going to ask, is there anything you want to say just for people listening today that just can make their end of this podcast fantastic and perfect and something that will help them? Just a little piece of advice. You've given so much today, but is there anything else you want to say?
Be gentle with yourself, because as we're trying to make changes, we can get frustrated that we're not doing it right. You know, we have this idea in our heads that I need to do this the right way. And instead, look at it as I'm making one step. I'm making a commitment to make this relationship better. Maybe you want to focus on just one person to improve that relationship that's not as going as smoothly as you would like. And focusing on just one skill, because that's really critical. If you try to take on too many at once, it you know, you've got this pathway, you need to work on establishing that one pathway. And so being patient with yourself, being gentle and really being kind. So you don't criticize yourself, but instead give yourself encouragement and some flexibility and latitude about not getting it, quote, right. And I forgot to tell you, our website is growstrongleaders.com. So people can learn about the books there. They can buy them both on Amazon. And I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.
Absolutely. And again, it's been, we've connected now for quite a while. We spoke about doing the episode and we're introduced by a mutual friend. And obviously you've just brought a lot of kind of really good things into my life, including becoming a guest of the podcast. So Meredith, thank you so much for all you've done for me, the podcast and everything. And I continue to want to learn from you. So thank you so much.
Oh, great. Well, I look forward to staying in touch, Rich. Thank you so much for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks so much to Meredith for coming on the podcast and talking about her work and how to communicate better. Remember, in the description and show notes, you'll be able to find links to her work and her books. On next week's show, I will be interviewing Dom Barstow, who is host of the World According to the Autistic Kid podcast, a podcast that I researched before I started Inside the Orange. And it was great to have a little chat with him about lots of different things, really. So for today, that's the end of the episode. Stay tuned to find out how you can get in contact with the podcast. But for now, goodbye and take care. To get in touch with the podcast, you can find us at insidetheorange.co.uk. You can email us at insidethisorange@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Orange Watts, Orange, W-H-A-T-S. On Instagram, Inside the Orange. On the Inside the Orange podcast Facebook page, or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Richard Stevens, motivational speaker and creator of the Inside the Orange. All these links will be available in the description and show notes.